It's quite funny that we're on the Elevate podcast because our motto is elevating life. And that came about because we do want to encourage people to build wealth, to live in great communities. And because we specialize predominantly in high-rise apartments, there's that feeling of being elevated.
You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the brightest minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Adrian Wilson has given himself a clear and succinct mandate to ensure that every client transacting real estate in the apartment market has an incredible and rewarding experience. With nearly 20 years of experience under his belt, Adrian has been a business owner, worked in corporate for franchises, and is now back with a new venture, AIR, which is 100% focused on that apartment niche, both sales and rentals. In this podcast, you're going to hear Adrian talk about why he has chosen the apartment niche as opposed to generalizing, how he plans to leverage that from a marketing and branding point of view, plus some of the experiences he is now leaning on while in startup mode and building a brand new real estate business from the ground up. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and if you do, please share it with your industry colleagues and of course hit that iTunes subscribe button. Now, as usual, we've taken notes, and for about a week, you can download an episode companion or an action guide for this podcast at eliteagentelevate.com. Now, lots of you are already literally getting extra from us in the mail. And if you're not quite in the loop yet, you can literally get extra out of our podcasts by getting the notes or action guides delivered to your door every month in one convenient newsletter. So this is where we send you a printed newsletter so these golden nuggets of info from our guests can't ever get lost in the ether or the email or the cloud or the busyness of the online world. Extra, our newsletter allows you to relax, read the best takeaways, make notes and implement when you're back at the office, and we've had some amazing feedback on that so far. So don't forget to check that out at eliteagentelevate.com. That's it from me. Enjoy the chat with Adrian and we'll catch you very soon. So welcome to the podcast, Adrian Wilson.
Thanks, Sam. Really appreciate it.
So it's really great to have you here. You've just started a new business, AIR Real Estate, but let's go back a little bit. Give us a little bit of the backstory on Adrian Wilson. Who is Adrian Wilson?
Well, that's a great question, Sam. I guess the first thing is that who I am today is probably going to be different to who I am tomorrow. And part of the journey is always re-education, learning, and I guess for me, always trying to self-better and grow into who I'm aspiring to be in future. So I think the journey will change. And if you ask me again in a year, hopefully it's a different answer. But where I started in real estate anyway was 2001, when I knocked on the door of an agency in Sydney City and said, look, I'm ready to be a sales agent. And of course, got the funny look that I'm sure everyone who has wanted to get into real estate and straight into sales has probably received.
Yeah.
But was kindly offered a job working in leasing. So I thought, great, I'll take that and I'll get a start in real estate and work my way into sales. And actually, that was for me probably one of the most important part of my journey in real estate is that had I been able to walk straight into the role that I probably wanted, I would have missed a really huge chunk of fundamentals in terms of leasing and property management, servicing clients, and understanding that actually real estate is not just about making great sales. Obviously, that's a fun part of it. But at the end of the day, real estate is a broad basket, and understanding different facets of that has really set me up for where I am now.
In property management, you really learn a lot about people, don't you?
You do. A huge amount at their best and their worst.
Yeah. What would you say your specialty in the industry is now?
What we're trying to do at AIR Real Estate is to specialize in the apartment space. So there's definitely a segment of the market which already caters towards off-plan sales. There's definitely an existing segment, the real estate industry, which caters to selling homes. And so we do the same thing or a combination of that, but we do it in the space specifically for apartments. And for me, it's really exciting because it's one of the largest and fastest growing markets in the country, not in terms of suburbs, but in terms of the type of stock. There were some statistics put out by the ABS at the last census, and there's roughly just over 6 million homes, and now there's about 1.3 million apartments. So almost one in five people are now living in apartments. And so, you know, if you think about 1.3 million apartments in Australia and no agency at this point in time is specifically servicing that market, most of the agencies that we're seeing are really looking at suburbs or locations, whereas we're talking about property type. So that kind of gives us a specialization there.
That's one of the reasons I was really interested to talk to you, actually, because you've got some agents out there who will say, right now, you have to be all things to all people, like you have to spread yourself over everything to be able to compete. And then there's another school of thought, which is, let me niche myself down and be the guy, the go-to guy for this segment of the market. Is that where your thinking came about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you look at a lot of top agents, they will almost always have a niche. For some of them, it's a price point. For some of them, it's a suburb or suburbs. For some, it's a demographic or a certain segment of the community. And for us, we're hoping to grow that in the apartment space. And, you know, that's not to say that we won't look after clients that have all various types of properties. We are real estate agents at the end of the day, but certainly to have a niche and a strength and a real positioning in the market, I think will set us in good stead for the future.
Yeah, so that's the other reason I was really keen to talk to you too, is because you have some spectacular marketing. And you always have, actually. Mm. Like, I mean, I've kind of had you on my radar certainly for about 5 years or even more. And thank you for the Google Home.
Yeah, pleasure.
So, when you're launching your own brand, tell me some of the things that you were thinking about to make yourself known out there to say, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, so this brand, so Air Real Estate, and the way that it's come about and developed is actually very different to my last agency, Wilson Property Agents, which I started in 2008. And if you like, I'll talk a little bit about the two journeys because back in 2008, I guess like a lot of people that start their own business, I was an agent in momentum. So I was in the market. I had a lot of traction. I had some great sales. And so at that point in time, it was a decision to take the leap of faith and open my own office. And I did so on an IKEA dining table from my share flat in Bondi. You know, I went up to Officeworks and bought a printer. I rang a friend of mine and said, look, I need a brand. And he said, well, what's it called? I said, I don't know. Wilson Property Agents will do.
Yep.
And so for me at that point in time, it was all about the momentum. Whereas this point in time, having sold that business 2014, done a few things in terms of the property development side, both consulting to developers and doing some small projects of my own, and then working for an ASX listed company, McGrath, which was a phenomenal experience in a GM role, now coming back into the market and setting up a business. And in that time as well, having conducted an MBA at UTS, much better armed from a business sense in terms of how do you run a business? How do you set up a brand? What are the things to look out for? What's leadership really mean? But obviously, I'm not an agent in momentum, so I have a whole set of different challenges. So a bit of a long-winded answer, but the brand itself was crucial to the development of this new business. So in my first agency, the brand was an afterthought and it was all about the momentum and transactional side of business. This time, rather than trying to develop that over time as the agency grew, we've tried to get it right from the start. So what that meant was almost a six-month program with some very high-profile designers to drill down to say, well, what is Air? What is Air Real Estate? Who are we? Who are we trying to be? Where would we like to end up? You know, what are the things that we want our clients and people that work for us to feel when they see our marketing, when they see our advertising, when they turn up at our open homes? And actually drilled down to one small saying, and it's actually not too, it's quite funny that we're on the Elevate podcast because our motto is elevating life. And that came about because we do want to encourage people to build wealth, to live in great communities. And because we specialize predominantly in high-rise apartments, there's that feeling of being elevated. So that's kind of how the brand came about.
Is that a little bit of a play on the Air brand as well?
Absolutely. So what we typically do in our specialization is we sell strata apartments. And a lot of people will probably know that strata apartments are actually a division of airspace. That's the legal title. That's what the ownership is when you purchase an apartment, you're buying airspace. And so for us, we wanted to kind of cross-reference that in a playful way with our brand.
Interesting. And so you really did start with the feeling that you wanted to give people that dealt with your brand, like, how do I want these people to feel? And then built the brand around that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually took all of the typical kind of marketing mediums from deal cards to brochures to we looked at a lot of online ads. And we tried to work out, firstly, as a consumer, so either as a tenant or a buyer, you know, what are the key bits of information that I'm going to need throughout the course of the interaction with the property and the agent? And so we've tried to provide, from a content perspective, very short and succinct information, but all of the pertinent stuff that people need. And we've tried to strip out all of the hyperbole and all the big words. All the acres. Yeah, yeah. All the acres of text that often feature in property marketing material. The other thing that we've tried to do is we obviously want to be very transparent and clear in our market. And the good thing about the apartment space is that it's much easier to do that because typically you've got stacks of apartments, you've got levels of apartments, you've got apartments which are similar sizes and similar floor plans. So in terms of ascertaining value, it's often a lot easier. It's a more commercial equation than quite often, you know, two homes, which one might be built in the 70s and one's a new mega mansion. You know, how do you compare those two? It's much more difficult. So for us, the comparison is easier. So we wanted to be as transparent as we could, everything from strata levies to sizes of apartments to aspects to, you know, anything that the consumer might need to know. And then we've tried to package that up in a simple but also pleasing way. And someone the other day said to me, look, they thought it was a cross between, you know, if Aesop and Hermes had a real estate baby. that's kind of the marketing style that it is. You know, it's very sophisticated, but it's not shouty. We've done some really clever things in terms of, I'm not sure if you've seen some of the illustrations that we've put in place.
So, I haven't, but I'd love to.
Yeah. So we just wanted to soften it. And so I think overall, in terms of the quality of the marketing that we've done, we're well positioned in advance of, I think, anyone else in our marketplace and possibly even in terms of quality, one of the best in the country, even though we're only a small agency starting on our journey. So. Mm.
I think it's really interesting to sort of come in at this time when, you know, there are more and more multi-purpose buildings around as well. Like, you're really appealing to that sort of client who is the buildings I'm sort of talking about are buildings that have residential, commercial, retail. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the sort of things that we're talking about, aren't they?
Yeah, well, and mixed use is becoming more and more common. And in fact, hotels are also starting to see, I guess, a play in that space as well, with buildings where there's a part hotel section and then apartments above, or even Crown Casino, Barangaroo. Mm. And Barangaroo is a great example of, I think, where the future of apartment living is headed. It's less about the building and more about the amenity and also the community that surrounds it. And so one of our jobs as agents is to help educate buyers who may not necessarily know that market about those things so they feel comfortable with an area. Quite often for us, particularly with the inner city apartments, Sydney City, Pyrmont, Surrey Hills, Woolloomooloo, those areas, the people that are moving into those spaces are often downsizing empty nesters. And so they want to be in areas of convenience. They want to be able to walk everywhere. They want to know there's great restaurants. And importantly, they actually want to know that some of their friends are either moving there or have moved there, which is a really interesting thing. That sense of community is now starting to come into these markets. Sydney City, really, if you think about it, is actually a relatively new marketplace. If you go back to the 90s, Sydney City, almost all of the apartments in the 90s and 80s that were built there were actually built for farmers and for people who were coming into the city to trade, physically trade.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of one-bedroom studios and bedsits. And then in the 90s, end of the 90s and into 2000, that changed with a few key buildings like Bennelong, Macquarie Apartments, Walsh Bay, the Observatory Tower, Highgate, and Stanford-on-Kent buildings on Kent Street. And that started to elicit owner-occupiers from the eastern suburbs and lower North Shore who didn't want to live in their big houses anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that trend will continue. And at this point in time, our biggest, I guess, demographic of people who are wanting to move into our market are downsizers and empty nesters who are selling the family home, that want a great apartment with a good view and a good location, built by a quality builder with cafes and shops below and potentially walk to work and something of a decent size. And so for us now, that top end of the market is really, really strong.
Yeah. I went into the Crown Display Suites actually.
Did you?
And it was an incredible experience. And thinking about room service from five-star restaurants is quite appealing.
Absolutely.
At some point when I want to give up cooking. Although the kitchen's not too bad. Mm-hmm. So let's sort of talk about the setup of the business. So AIR's been set up from scratch. How did you pull a team together around you?
Well, initially it was a team of one, which was me.
Yeah.
And that was for the bulk of the planning phase. I kind of locked myself in my home office and pulled out all the pens and papers and kind of sketched out, well, where is this business actually going to go? What is it we want to achieve? How are we going to get there? What are the key steps, certainly for the first 12 to 24 months? And so far, we're almost on track. In terms of the team, we recently collaborated with another existing business called Torch Property Management, mm-hmm. which was announced today, I think. Yeah, it was announced today. Yeah, so we're really excited about that. So one of the things for me, which is really important in real estate, is to have both a very strong property management business as well as a strong sales team. And so growing a property management business is great fun, but it does take a lot of time. And also growing a good sales team is equally fun, but it also takes a lot of time. So we're looking to grow both naturally as well as through acquisition. But the collaboration with Torch brings some really talented existing operators in the core market together with our branded philosophy. And together, I think we're going to really shoot the lights out very quickly, is the goal.
Yeah. So with Torch, how did you decide on them? What was it about Torch that made them the ideal partner for you?
Yeah. So they obviously had they were actually a property management only business, which was a nice fit for AIR, which has started off at this point in time as a sales only business. And I think they had the right philosophy. I'd known the owners of that business for many years because we'd been in the market competing as colleagues, and I knew that they were quality operators and extremely good with their clients and their processes and their systems, which is really important to me. They also shared the dream and vision of creating something that was special in the market and that was also able to had the opportunity to really become the center agency for the Sydney City market. And so I think together we just felt that great minds think alike, and under a strong brand, you know, with a really great rent roll, and now myself and Craig Donohue, who's one of the area's leading agents, with Georgia Peters also joining us from another agency. She's had 13 years experience, and Kirsty Gardner, who's one of the best sales associates and assistants in the market. So we've got this phenomenal team from nothing. And yeah, I'm kind of pinching myself at the moment because
it sounds like it's all sort of come together.
It's all coming together, and it's really just the first step in our journey. And we really want to make sure that we've solidified our core market first, but we definitely have the desire to grow the business beyond that.
Have there been any challenges that you've had to overcome on the journey to, you know, because we know that there are no total overnight successes.
Sure.
There's always a story on the road. Is there anything that you've had to?
Yeah, there is. And I wouldn't say we're an overnight success yet. We've got a long way to go to reach that point, but I certainly feel that we've identified the path and we're taking the right steps. But the first 3 months of the business was tough because we were actually working. Our first office on Elizabeth Street is actually located under the Sheraton on the Park Hotel, which is a really great location for a number of reasons. But whilst that office was being fitted out, we had nowhere else to work from. So we were actually sitting in the lobby of of the Sheraton on the Park. And can I say, for anyone that's actually sat in a lobby for more than about 5 minutes, it's phenomenal what you will see in 3 months of sitting in a lobby, the type of people that come and go, the transactions, the business meetings, the fights, the laughter and the tears. It's quite funny.
Market research.
So look, that was definitely a challenging period for us. And at that stage, Kirsty had joined the team. So there was two of us working from the lobby every day. But we now know everybody who works in the hotel, which is very cool. And the other thing is, of course, starting without momentum means that you're also starting with negative cash flow. So that's obviously been a big challenge. We've had to be very mindful of that. And because of everything that we're doing, we're taking a premium stance on our branding, on the fit out of the office, on everything that we're trying to do, we're trying to overachieve, which means that we really need to think about how we're investing our funds.
Yeah. We had the same problem, actually. I can relate to that because we didn't call ourselves Ordinary Agent. And having that sort of brand means that you can't really do things by halves. So it does make it tricky when you're starting up.
Yeah, it keeps you really accountable. And I love that because it means that our vision is clear and succinct and that we know where we're headed.
Mm. So it's a, you know, if I could summarize it, it's like a filter where things go through your brand filter. And then if it doesn't meet that purpose or that brand feeling, it's
absolutely
gone.
I guess the thing is for us to be able to carry that through our leadership team, through the people that we're hopefully would be joining us in future, alongside our vision for the clients that work with us. You know, we want to make sure that everyone's on the same page, that we've got a happy, cohesive approach to everything, that we're clear and articulate, and we're clever and simple, and we're always doing the very best that we can in every situation.
Yeah. So when you start a business, it's exciting in some ways because you've got a blank sheet of paper and you can kind of implement things exactly the way that you want to and the tools that you want to. And just, you just said then keeping people on the same page and stuff like that. So what are the tools that you've chosen to set up with and why?
Yeah. So obviously at the moment, we're still a relatively small team. So thankfully, open communication is and constant communication, not just emailing, has been the first thing. Setting up processes around who you're meeting, when you're meeting them, the one-on-ones are super important. Making sure that any big decisions that everyone in the team is across it, even if you may not traditionally want to include someone in, you know, who might be a, say, a property manager or in an assistant role in regards to a certain decision about maybe your finances or, you know, an office lease. But by including everyone in that process, certainly with the size team we have, it's really generated a unique culture and everyone is definitely fighting on the same team and charging forward. So
using some of your own experiences in setting up both of your businesses, if someone listening to this out there was thinking, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to create my own business. From your experience, what are the must-dos?
That's a great question, Sam. Opening your own business is definitely something that I would encourage anyone who's thinking about it to fully explore. I think it can be extremely rewarding, but it can be equally challenging. And any business owner will tell you that it's not always all roses, but the rewards and the satisfaction, particularly for me, in terms of helping grow a team and aligning visions towards something which is greater than just the sum of us, is the rewarding part of it. The advice I'd give would be, not everyone who's a great agent is a great leader or a great principal. And that's actually okay, because not every principal and every great leader would also be a great agent. So there needs to be a role and people need to be comfortable with that. A lot of people at the moment are talking about being authentic and being genuine. And I think that's part of it, is that traditionally we get taught that once you've sold a few houses, you've had a successful career in real estate after a few years, then you should go and open up the whatever available franchise is down the road and open your own office. And that's great, but I don't actually think that's necessarily the way of the future. And that's not to discourage anyone from doing it. I just think that moving forward, the way that I see the real estate industry playing out is that there'll be further consolidation, there'll be bigger brands, and then there'll be smaller boutique brands and or niche brands. And for me, the guys in the middle are probably the ones that should be most worried. And unfortunately, we're a cottage-based industry, which means most people running real estate businesses have one or maybe two offices and a team of maybe between 5 and 15 people. And quite often, that's the most uneconomical place to be, which is why a lot of principals are listing and selling themselves, or they're the lead agent in their team. And it's very difficult to grow a business beyond that if you're still actively listing and selling every day as your core role, because a business needs leadership, it needs direction, and it needs a CEO who's driving it. Conversely, I guess if you're a CEO who's driving it, but you don't have the right team, if you haven't attracted the right sales agents, then how do you grow beyond that? Particularly with cutting edge technology, a lot of social media, people who are investing in a lot of video, a lot of social media and PR, which are all the things that we're also looking to invest in. How do you compete against that? So, long story, I think opening a business is a very exciting thing to do, but it may not necessarily net you either the financial or the rewards personally that you're after. And the only way really to know that is to try, or to have an honest conversation with yourself and maybe people around you as to whether they think you might be suitable to doing that. I've seen some great agents out there, career agents that have done exceptionally well, that have earned way more than many principals, that have a much happier and more fulfilled life, spend more time with their family and their kids. Mm. And so sometimes it's that balance as to what's going to be the suitable thing. But if anybody's interested and wants to get started, I'd certainly be happy to have a conversation with them.
Absolutely. What is the most valuable piece of advice that anyone's given you on your journey?
Sam, I don't know. That's another interesting question. You're pulling out all the cracking questions today. I don't know if there's a piece of advice that someone's given me. I think what I've learned is that even through the worst, the hardest, and the most trying of circumstances is actually where, as a person or an agent, you learn the most. So, if I look back upon the career and where I am today, I've got a lot of those hurdles to thank for getting me here. And it's as important to celebrate the recovery from an issue or something which has set you back, which you've been able to navigate around and get back up on your feet, and to celebrate those as well. Because without the hurdles, without the challenges, the wins are never quite as sweet. So, maybe less on the advice front and more about the life experiences. Really enjoy the journey. Really understand that even though you might be down, or you might not have many listings at the moment, or your market's tough, or whatever it is, if you're doing the right thing as a person, as an agent, if you have a goal, if you're working towards it, and you have a plan and you do the right thing, you know, I think eventually you'll get back up on top.
Yeah, it teaches you grit, doesn't it?
Teaches you grit.
So, what's the next goal?
Well, the first thing is we obviously want to solidify the current market that we're in, and hopefully we'll be able to do that in the not too distant future. We've got some great listings coming up already. We've got a really good rent roll, and we intend to obviously grow both of those things, and we'll be looking for some additional talent to join the team, hopefully towards the end of this year and moving into next year. And once we've got that team sorted, we'll then be looking for other opportunities in complementary markets. So, we certainly don't want to build a network of 100 offices. We certainly don't want to be the biggest in the marketplace. We want to be the best at what we do, and we want to do that in areas where we feel we can add real value, in high rise or in areas which have a high proportion of high rise apartments and strata living, where there are investors who need us to help them with their return and paying their mortgage and looking after their tenants. And we've got downsizers and up and coming executives who want to live in great environments where there's social activities, there's community, there's great restaurants. And so, if you think about the way that these environments are growing, Barangaroo, Walsh Bay, the Hyde Park market, it's exciting, and we want to be part of those areas.
Yeah, I can see you've got a real passion for that side of real estate. So, I'm sure you are going to do amazingly well, Adrian Wilson. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.